Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
In New York City, the great city, the capital of art, such as ours, doesn't have a newspaper or magazine criticizing or attacking the situation of the arts today. We only have School of Acknowledgement, Society of Mutual Admiration. We all know that big businesses in the arts and big collectors are buying art as a stock market commodity. I represent the free spirit of the artist. Let us be remembered that this performance will only be done once in front of this institution as a symbol that the spirit of our great creative country must go on. Business or not business, the arts are more important than the power, the machine, the cartel, which are the present controlling. We all know that many of the institutions are only sponsoring and buying the same group of gallery, sponsored and supported by the same group of collectors. It's a vicious circle, which is destroying our creative spirit. We cannot afford, as a great nation, to let the artist die in slow, controlled death. This is a symbol. I write a newspaper called The Screw, which attacks the fields of fine arts. The third issue is a song, which also will be presented today. I wish to donate the award of the Golden Screw to this institution.
On behalf of the museum, I accept it.
Thank you.
Now the Belltone Boys from the Lower East Side will sing to you the song of the Screw.
Okay.
If you're a screw,
you can't go wrong.
So grease your thread
and sing this song,
and you'll be long. Screw.
Screw. Now becomes flat-headed, round-headed too.
Screw, screw, screw.
You can have them to choose from, a variety of size.
Screw, screw, screw.
They come tall, short, or fat, long and thin, according to specific purpose or use.
Screw, screw, screw.
Always in the well-accepted standard category of round-headed screws and flat-headed screws.
Screw,
screw. The screw, the screw.
That's what they want.
If you're a screw,
you can't go wrong.
So grease your thread
and sing this song,
and you'll be long.
I do what I please.
Screw.
They come in every size, conditioned to screwdrivers.
Screw, screw, screw.
They turn and turn a long way with grooves so sterilized.
Screw, screw, screw.
They wait and wait in line for the twist of a driver.
Screw, screw, screw.
You can't get them deeper. The head gets in the way.
Screw, screw, screw.
The screw don't give a damn. It is so satisfied.
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 Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The performance is completed. The next performance will be at 1 p.m. in front of the Whitney Museum. Please remain for the bow to the screw.
Hi.
Okay.
It's not quite clear what their point is. They seem to be focusing on this institution as something that doesn't please them. But why? They don't buy their paintings? They're not specific enough. I agree that young artists have no place to get rid of their things, to sell, to live. But what do they want from this institution? This is not you know, for young artists. This is definitely for established artists. They follow the regime.
What about the Guggenheim, which is a gallery for young artists, unknown artists, and which very seldom shows any unknown artists?
They're also a well-established institution that doesn't go in for giving young people a chance. Young people have to struggle. It's too bad. And you can't struggle on 57th Street either. And struggling on Greenwich Village is out also. You gotta live. I have no answers, but I wish their question were a little clearer, that's all.
Are you a painter?
No, I dabble. That's all.
Would you like to make some comment, Adam? No? Would you?
I agree that the aims were not made very clear as far as the passerbys were concerned, but I feel that the protest was amply justified because...
What do you think the protest is about?
Well, as I understood it, and I was talking to several of the people who were in charge of the protest, was that very many artists, because they do not belong to the contemporarily accepted school of art, do not have a chance to exhibit their work. And I believe that it is perfectly justified. Because that is true. The Museum of Modern Art has often displayed things which, for some reason or other, they consider art.
Do you think they're setting up a taste-making pattern?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think the museums are setting up a taste-making pattern?
Oh, yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, I think that WBAI had at least one program that I heard which deplored this conformity of what is supposed perhaps started as nonconformity, but it has become an absolute conformist thing.
What, the station WBAI?
No. I mean the art in quotes that is shown at the Museum of Modern Art, sometimes at the Whitney Museum and at the Guggenheim Museum. I understand they're going to demonstrate before all three of these.
Thank you very much, madam. Have you got any comment to make?
Please?
Have you got any comment to make about this demonstration?
Oh, I think it's very nice that Mr. Tombolini does that.
Yeah. Are you from abroad?
No, I'm a painter, but I'm writing for Germany on modern art since about a long time when nobody ever wrote. So I write on modern art and I write on every happenings that is here, especially on very modern art.
How would you explain Mr. Tambellini's protest today? Would you like to tell us what you think it is?
I think he's angry at a lot of things that happened.
You think he's justifiably angry?
Yes.
Could you specify any particular areas in which his anger is justified?
Oh, as everything in life, there's a lot of corruption going on in the art world.
Do you think the gallery system is corrupt, per se?
Oh, it's a lot of things which you call business that's involved, and business is not always done with clean hands.
Do you think this is all that Tambellini is objecting to, the business aspect of the gallery?
He wants to preserve art as an idealistic purpose, and I feel the same way.
Thank you very much, madam.
Today, at the crucial crossroad of mankind, at the threshold of a new age, a space age, when great new vistas are being unveiled for new and spectacular adventures of the human mind, the tastemakers, cartels, and stock marketeers in art are suffocating and throttling the creative mind of a great pioneering country. The authorities for taste and art have advocated, sponsored, and supported for many years only a dehumanized, meaningless, demoniac, chaotic, mindless non-art. The paintings and sculpture are contrived and assembled from the junk heap of dismantled parts and the refuse pile of the backwash of human waste. This has encouraged the anti-art movements which now engulf us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, not from the very beginning?
Yeah, not from the beginning.
When creative minds are submerged, ignored, and suppressed by the onslaught of taste-making machinery, a country is depleted of the very energies it needs for its survival, its hopes for the future, and the confidence that there is a destiny for man. The creative mind ennobles life, elevates man, and gives him human dignity. Without this creative mind in the field of action as a challenge of the highest, a society is thrust into impotence, indolence, futility, hopelessness, and decay. This is the serious implication and danger of the tyranny of irresponsible, mindless, taste-making machinery.
Well, let me test.
I don't think I want to be quoted.
Well, the thing is, we're going to do a documentary, and I really would like to get the museum's opinion of the whole thing. The documentary is about corruption in the art world. That's what it amounts to. And Tambellini's protest is about this kind of corruption. His main accusation, of course, on the business side is that the organization of tastemakers, one of whom, of course, is the museum institution, is setting a pattern of taste-making which is killing the creativity of the artist, and this is symptomatic of many things which are going on inside such a commercial society.
Was this, were you recording that?
I was recording, yes, it's on now.
Is it on?
Well, I'll turn it off if you want. Okay, what is your name, please?
Milton Resnick.
To get a bit closer.
Okay.
Now, Milton, we're trying to define this this word corruption, or the state of corruption which there have been allegations about in the art world. Can you sort of explain your opinions on the alleged corruption in the art world? Perhaps starting off with your views on the business corruption as you did just before.
Well, that's to be expected. If someone needs to stay home and work and finds opportunities are limited and thinks that there are things he can do, people he could know, parties he can go to and do those ordinary small things to help him to get this hopeful feeling that he will someday not have to do things he doesn't want to do and stay home and do his work. That's a normal, ordinary, everyday affair, and that kind of corruption is a corruption that is meaningless. It's as much true about anything else as it's true about art. It's not an art corruption. It's just a feeling of getting ahead in the world. If there's a corruption that deals with art, or if art is corruptible in any sense, it's only in that it can be replaced with something other than art, which has been talked about for a long time now. And since to go out of art means you don't necessarily go to the stars, you don't go out of the world, you just choose the world in some sense in replace of art. When there's an artist who says to himself he would rather listen to Frank Sinatra than opera, he may be true to himself, he may be very sincere. But he also reflects a state of mind which leaves art for something else. Whether art is in a low or high condition is probably due to it may be due to the effect of other people's work, or it also has to do with what an artist himself does. In other words, if you say that art is what I have around me, that is one attitude about art. If you say art is what I also must do in order to have it around me, that means you are part of this corrupt or incorruptible affair that's so important to you. If you once leave art alone and say that if art doesn't have this contemporary feeling that I must have, that the historical point of view is no longer a sufficient point of view, then you may be critical about art being historical or not contemporary. But if you decide that by leaving art and replacing art with something other than art, I think it's not a matter of simple direction or geography. It's a corrupt state to find yourself in.
Could you define more this condition of leaving art?
Well, it's been talked about a long time, and somewhere around 1950 there was a feeling among artists that many of the things that they seem to have strong feelings about, their eyes were open, and they understood it in a way in which suddenly it left them, the strong attachment to things that seemed so important suddenly let go. There was a release. There was a feeling you can throw out many things that a moment ago you thought were so dear and important, and then became an unsteady state, a feeling of uncertainty, but with pleasure, with this feeling that the more uncertainty, the more doubt, the more